This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon. Welcome to the show. I'm Meera Sivasudhi. U.S. President Barack Obama's visit to Malaysia is, of course, part of his four-nation tour of Asia-Pacific, a rebalancing to Asia agenda with the twin emphasis of trade and, of course, security. His arrival, of course, is the first by a sitting U.S. president in almost half a decade since Lyndon Johnson's trip in 1966. The only thing I remember about Lyndon Johnson is that there is a felder settlement that has been named after him towards the KLIA area. As, of course, Obama concludes his visit in Malaysia and heads towards the Philippines today, we have in the studio with us Alina Noor, who's the Assistant Director of Foreign Policy and Security Studies from the Institute of Strategic and International Studies. We're going to be discussing Obama's accomplishments during this time in Malaysia and to get an overview of the U.S.-Malaysia relations going forward. Welcome to the show, Alina. How are you?
Good, thank you. Thanks for having me on.
Did you get a chance to have an audience with the president?
I did. It was very exciting. I was at the afternoon town hall event with him yesterday, in fact. So that was quite a moment for me.
How did it go? I mean, I think I was reading you weren't terribly pleased with some of the questions that were asked.
I know, you were quoted. I know.
Especially, you felt more current affairs stuff should have been asked, but it wasn't quite the case. But were there reasons for that, or would you know anything?
I don't know. I mean, I think there were questions that needed answering, particularly those related to strategic issues in the region, the South China Sea, what the elevation of relations between both countries to a partnership means specifically. Those were the sorts of issues that I would have been interested to hear a little more about. And I don't know why those questions were not asked, to be frank.
Do you think any of those questions were ever surfaced during the course of the visit? I mean, as you said, there were a few things, maritime security issues, the free trade agreements, it was MH370.
Right.
His meeting or, not his meeting, Susan Rice's meeting with, opposition leaders. He met NGOs. Do we have any development or any outcome from those issues?
Well, you talked about the twin areas of the bilateral relationship, namely economics and security. And I think those have been the traditional anchors of the relationship. But what is significant about this visit, beyond the huge symbolism of it, is an understated and underlooked aspect of the evolution of the relationship to, the third leg of what is now the tripod of a relationship. So there is economics, there's security, but there is also growing people-to-people initiatives that both countries are trying to cultivate in science, technology, and education in particular. And I think that's sort of a substantive angle of the relationship that you'll see growing more and more, because our ties are already very, very strong foundationally and operationally. Our economic and security relationship stretches back decades. And in those areas, what you'll see is a deepening of the relationship. So not so much an expansion in the number of visits, for example, official visits per se, or even in the number of exercises, defense exercises. There may be some, but essentially there will be a qualitative deepening of these ties. Where you'll see an expansion in terms of numbers is in the cultural angle of the relationship. So more youth exchanges, I think that's being looked at more
closely. Hence the town hall yesterday.
Correct, yeah. And more engagement with youth in general, because that's really the future of the relationship.
Really? Are you sure?
Well,
I have doubts about that.
Really?
I mean, young minds, impressionable minds.
That's true.
Let's get to them before anyone else.
Exactly. Well,
at least one comes to mind. Being the skeptic that I am,
I think that's quite a good point, actually, a very realist point. And I don't think that it's necessarily a bad thing, to be honest. And it's an angle that both countries can exploit. And it's not just a one-sided affair.
Fair enough, Alina. I was reading over the last, 16 years, our attitude in Malaysia towards the U.S. has changed. It has evolved from deep suspicion, verging on contempt, to cautious desire for cooperation. Would you agree?
I don't know if it I would characterize it that simply, because there are different shades to the relationship. And even during those times when the relationship appeared to be difficult at the political level, operationally, the cooperation in defense and security and the trade ties still continued quite strongly. So there are these multiple layers to the relationship that I'm not sure we can characterize very, very easily. What we've seen in recent years, particularly since President Obama and Prime Minister Najib took office, respectively, mm-hmm. is sort of a warming of relations at the political level. So if in the past we had difficulties during, say, Prime Minister Mahathir's time because of a US policy, mm-hmm. In these recent years, we've seen a warmer approach and a sort of chemistry almost between both leaders in the US and Malaysia. So on a personal level, I think they seem to get along very well, and that helps with the political relationship on the surface.
Okay, hence a selfie and all of that.
Correct.
Someone described it as self-gratification on both sides. Yeah. Did you get that feeling?
I think there was a bit of that, to be fair.
Symbolism thing, as
yes,
you said.
Yes, yes. This visit is hugely symbolic rather than substantive, I would argue, although there were substantive aspects to it. But I think the symbolism sort of eclipsed the substance. And in this region, that's not a bad thing, because symbolism is very important in this region. Mm-hmm. You don't turn up for a meeting, or you don't turn up for a regional forum, you know, the host gets slighted. Right. And Obama cancelled on his earlier planned visit, and there hasn't been a presidential visit since Lyndon Johnson, as you pointed out. Yep. So the symbolism in this is actually quite significant in and of itself.
Is more attention from the US necessarily a good thing for Malaysia?
Well, that depends, doesn't it? There can be too much of a good thing or even a bad thing, I would say. I think it just depends on the context, you know. And in this region right now, there are a lot of evolving security challenges that warrant, on Malaysia's part, a very careful balancing act in how we interact with our neighbours.
Yeah, I mean, especially, we know the position of China and the US, and we're sort of caught in the middle. What are some of the challenges present in, you know, maintaining good relations between, you know, China as well as the US, and how do we balance that relationship?
I think it's important to take a nuanced look at the relationship between the US and China and where Malaysia fits in, because it's tempting to characterize it as a zero-sum game. And it's not, because if you look at the US-China relationship, both sides are trying to cultivate that trust, even though it's a long and difficult process. But they're starting to speak a little more strategically and directly with each other to overcome, you know, whatever differences they may have. And where Malaysia fits in into that, well, we've always, I think, to be fair, done a pretty good job of positioning ourselves between both countries. We've been a good friend with the United States, and we've been an equally good friend to China over the years, and both our relationships stretch back, you know, some would argue centuries in mm-hmm. the case of China. How we proceed in the future will very much depend on A, what's going on in the region, and B, how we see ourselves and where we want our relationship to move forward with both countries. I think it's quite significant that we had a comprehensive strategic framework with China when President Xi came over in October last year. Mm-hmm. And now that President Obama has just visited, we've apparently elevated our relationship to a comprehensive partnership.
What does that mean?
That, you know, that's a question that I've been asking myself too.
A comprehensive, from bilateral to comprehensive, is that, am I correct?
Well, it's a bilateral relationship relationship has been upgraded to partnership. Mm-hmm. And I think implicit in that is sort of a maturing of the relationship so that there is a more equal aspect to the relationship. You know, partnership sort of conjures images of working together on more equal terms. That may not be the case right now in reality in some aspects, but I think certainly what it signifies is that development of the relationship over the years. And as I mentioned earlier on, you know, I think what you'll see is more of a deepening of this relationship to, I guess, add on to the stability of what we've already achieved so far with the United States.
And do you think with all of this, we will end up concluding bilateral, you know, trade agreements and things like that? Do you think that's partly, you know, the visit or the moving on or elevating this relationship, comprehensive relationship?
Right, partnership.
We'll make it a partnership.
We've moved on from relationship to partnership. We're partners now.
To, you know, make it easier for us to sign on dotted lines when it comes, when it is really necessary.
We haven't quite gotten along to the point of a marriage yet. And even in marriages, it's very difficult to sign on dotted lines sometimes, particularly when it involves money. And so in the case of Malaysia and United States, I think we've definitely advanced since those early days when we were negotiating the bilateral free trade agreement with them, which eventually stalled in about 2008. Mm-hmm. And we've moved on from that to the TPP. And so in that sense, there has been progress, but I think there's a lot of work left to be done with Malaysia committing to the TPP, particularly in light of the public backlash that has taken place over the past few months. Mm-hmm.
You had some protests yesterday at the town hall, didn't you?
We did. It was a bit awkward, I thought, because there was President Obama on stage talking about respecting different opinions. And all of a sudden, there were these people just standing up facing the media with their little banners. I wasn't quite sure what to make of it, actually.
I heard it only lasted a couple of minutes and, you know, they were quite well behaved. Adrian Yeo is asking, he said, Alina, did you take a selfie with the president in KL?
Adrian was sitting right next to me, actually. We tried. I tried very hard.
Here.
I know. I tried my best. I actually wanted to get a fist bump or a shaka and a selfie with President Obama. Unfortunately, my mission was unaccomplished.
Okay, all right. Not so. But Adrian's also asking, who needs the TPP more, the US or Malaysia?
I think both countries need the TPP for different reasons. The United States needs the TPP as sort of its signature trade policy that some would argue has been missing from its rebalance towards Asia. And so President Obama's legacy, if the TPP is signed and completed, would be the TPP from an economic point of view, because he's come under a lot of heavy fire domestically for not having a proper trade policy. And this would be it if it were concluded successfully. For Malaysia, I think it's a little more complicated. Obviously, there are a number of voices who think we don't need the TPP. And, you know, they voice very legitimate concerns. But those who are in favor of the TPP argue that it's necessary to push through reform. What they also argue is that that push for domestic reform doesn't necessarily need to come from an external driver like the TPP. So it depends. You know, you can argue whether Malaysia needs a TPP both ways, and either way, nobody's going to be satisfied.
Yeah. So will we be okay if we don't sign it?
Some would argue, yeah, we would be okay. But then I guess the counter argument to that would be, what if we decide, you know, 10 years from now that we need the TPP? Mm-hmm. Would we be too late to the game, you know, to try and shape the rules? These are the arguments that are being tossed about.
Yep. So it's very much a risk, really, that we will take. We're discussing US-Malaysia relations in view of President Barack Obama's visit. He's left already for the Philippines. Elina Nora, Assistant Director of Foreign Policy and Security Studies from ISIS, with me. We're discussing some of the things that, you know, surfaced during his visit and, you know, her views on various issues, maritime security, the TPP, of course. We haven't come to the US assisting in, of course, the search for MH370. If you have a question for her, send it through. You can tweet BFM Radio. That's coming up next on The Bigger Picture, BFM 89.9.
This is a download from BFM 89.9. The Business Station.
Good afternoon. It's The Bigger Picture and I'm Mira Sivasuthi. Alina Noor, Assistant Director of Foreign Policy and Security Studies from the Institute of Strategic and International Studies, better known as ISIS, with me. We're discussing US-Malaysia relations. Of course, that phone number to text, and it completely blanked out just before, 016-201-9000, or you can tweet BFM Radio with your questions and I'm sure she'll be happy to answer them. Some of the things, just an update, Alina. Trade, defense, trade we've gone through, defense and maritime security, among some of the issues Obama and Najib were expected to discuss over the weekend. Do you know if much came out of that?
I think they discussed the disappearance of MH370, certainly, and the US has been a very steadfast friend in these difficult times for the country. And moving forward, I believe what both countries will look into is closer cooperation in terms of interoperability of equipment, as well as functions and training. So I think we'll be looking at more joint exercises with the United States for events like the disappearance, for example, or, you know, in other times of crisis.
Okay. Just to go back a little on trade, Alina, many in the US are already speculating that, you know, in 2016, in the 2016 presidential election, rendering Obama a lame duck president, you know. How likely will this whole pivot to Asia be a sustained agenda?
You know, a different form of that question came up yesterday at the town hall, and Obama said, well, I still have 2 years to my term, you know, I hope no one's rushing me. But yeah, I think in terms of trade, there is that sense that, well, Obama's in the twilight years of his administration and he's facing very strong resistance in Congress on the TPP, not just among the Republicans, but also from some within his party. So there are questions about whether the U.S. will get the fast-track approval or the Trade Promotion Authority. It's looking very unlikely, especially with congressional midterm elections coming up in November. Mm-hmm. And so I think any momentum for the TPP will be lost until after that. And then even then, it might be very difficult to regain that momentum.
Yep. Do you not think there's a power imbalance when it comes to the whole negotiation of the TPP? I mean, who's Malaysia? And if you look at the US, the giants, mm-hmm. We already have a disadvantage to a very large extent, don't you think?
Yeah, I think on the surface, that's definitely an apparent concern. But it's 12 different countries negotiating. That's the argument, right? And everyone has an equal say at the negotiating table. So on certain issues and certain chapters of the agreement, I know that some countries are left isolated in their positions. And until a consensus has come about, no one can move forward with that. So in a sense, yes, you know, the US is sort of the heavyweight and it gives them an unfair advantage. But at the same time, it is a plurilateral agreement involving 12 different parties.
Okay. Human rights issues, of course, always comes to mind for me because I don't think the US has ratified a lot of these conventions and treaties and whatever. For someone to come on and talk about human rights in Malaysia, was that touched upon at all?
I believe it might have been raised privately between President Obama and Prime Minister Najib. And as you know, there was no meeting between Obama and Dato' Sri Anwar. Mm-hmm. But
there's a reason for that, in that it's customary for visiting heads not to meet members of the opposition.
Well, it's certainly not a custom to meet with leader of the opposition. Obama didn't do that in Japan. He didn't do that in Korea on his previous stops before Malaysia. Mm-hmm. But I believe his delegation met with members of the opposition and, with different civil society leaders talking about issues of human rights. But, and I know this will appeal to you because of your cynicism, there is this... there is this...
Thank you, Alina.
I try to cater to as many people as possible. But I think there is this sense of hypocrisy that you can't escape from when any country lectures you about human rights or democracy, because as you mentioned, the United States record isn't exactly 100% clean either.
Yep.
Obama's come under heavy fire for the use of drones in Afghanistan and Pakistan, for example. And then, you know, there was Guantanamo before that. So a host of things. And then a lot of people in this country look to the U.S. as a model of human rights and democracy promotion. And there are many good things about the United States in those areas, but I think we have to keep things in context and remember that not everything is all bright and sparkly in the United States either.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And just coming back to MH370, cross-border crisis like this, does it strengthen diplomatic relations in any way with various countries? Have you seen that happening in the past?
What I've heard is that it's definitely helped with cooperation at the operational level, because the level of communication and exchanges that have happened between all these countries, more than 20, is unprecedented. And if anything, you know, even despite the difficulties and challenges, it's definitely pulled countries closer together, because you can't work together for a search and rescue or a search and recovery effort without having to communicate on a regular basis in that particular period. Mm-hmm. And I think it sets a good basis for countries in the region to work together in times of crisis. As you know, there are a lot of exercises that go on for humanitarian assistance and disaster relief.
Yes.
Many of these just stop at the exercise level. You know, when you look at what happened, the typhoon in the Philippines, right before that, ASEAN held this massive HADR exercise that involved nearly 20 countries. But then the typhoon rolled about, and ASEAN and its dialogue partners didn't come together as an institution. I mean, they came together individually, but as an institution, there was no concerted joint cooperation between them. And hopefully, since MH370, you know, this type of cooperation, joint exercises will take place on a more regular basis, because I think the region realizes that it needs to work together despite its differences.
In just to recap the little bit of history between Malaysia and the U.S. relations, in a nutshell, Elena, how would you chart that journey to where we are today?
I think if you could draw a graph, there would be two lines essentially. And one line would be this stable linear upward trend. And that would be the basis of the relationship, because as I mentioned quite a few times, that relationship has always been very solid at the operational level in the defense, security, trade and economic areas. The second line would be above that linear upward line, and that would be a little more wavy, and that would represent sort of the political relationship, because it's gone through its ups and downs. Mm-hmm. Right now, it's on an upward trend. Hopefully, it will continue on that trend beyond President Obama's term, which ends very soon. But even if it doesn't, you still have that baseline at the bottom. So the foundation of the relationship should be institutionalized. It has been, but we're looking to concretize that foundation, as I understand it, from this comprehensive partnership.
So, even in the past, when political relations weren't, you know, that great, trade wasn't really affected.
No, it wasn't. Yeah. And you know, when trade took a dip, when our bilateral trading relationship took a dip, it wasn't because of our bilateral relationship.
Okay. Shah is actually asking, how realistic is the U.S. visa waiver and implications to increase business or technology collaborations?
Two parts of that question. I think the visa waiver program, and I know both countries are very keen on working towards making it happen, and a lot of the initiative is actually U.S.-driven. Whether that will have a massive impact on business and technology remains to be seen, because I think there are already a lot of opportunities in different ways for that. I think what the visa waiver program is primarily intended is to increase the people-to-people aspect to the relationship. So hopefully more education flows between Malaysia and United States, and perhaps more sociocultural exchanges as well.
And just to conclude, what are some of the challenges present that you feel will affect advancing bilateral ties further in the future?
The stability of the relationship is almost boring sometimes, you know. And you, when you work in this area,
selfies. That's the way forward.
Yes, that is the way forward. And when you work in this area, as I do, you're constantly trying to find of creative ways to try and push that relationship to the next level. And I think that's what this visit was meant to do. So real challenges, I think, you know, there may be unforeseen crises, black swans that might pop up. But I think the relationship is essentially very solid between the two countries. And it's really trying to qualitatively enrich that relationship in the traditional anchors of those ties, but also through more creative avenues in science and technology, as well as in education.
I mean, it's been almost half a century since, you know, a US president actually visited Malaysia. And as you said, it was almost more symbolic than anything else. Mm-hmm. Do you think, you know, the US presidents would bother coming back?
Yeah, I hope it won't be another 50 years. I don't know, you know, what advancement that might be beyond a selfie by then. Yeah. I mean, we had a Kampung LBJ, and then this time around, yes, it's a selfie. Who knows, you know, in 50 years. Hopefully, it won't take another 50 years.
Hopefully not, you know. But just to conclude, Alina, how would you like to wrap up?
I just like to say that there are troubling aspects to U.S. foreign policy, certainly, that will continue to vex Malaysians on the ground and even at the political level. But I think both countries, certainly both governments, hopefully will have matured enough to look beyond the difficulties of the relationship to work on a strong foundation that we've already built. Being friends, being partners, doesn't mean we have to agree on everything. And I think the fact that we do disagree on some very fundamental things and still remain friends, now partners, certainly speaks to the strength of that relationship between both countries.
How significant is that relationship to you and I?
To us, well, I don't know. I don't know how you feel about Americans, but, you know, I think in general, at the ground level, there is a lot of affinity for American pop culture. Mm-hmm. And hopefully that will go beyond just American pop culture, you know, as both countries take the time to get to know each other better. And that works both ways. And, you know, I really think that a lot more Americans should get to know Malaysia and Malaysians a lot better through our food, through our culture, because American culture is so pervasive. But it doesn't work the other way around. Mm-hmm. And there's a lot to be learned about each other from both sides.
Thank you very much for joining me today. Alina Noor, Assistant Director of Foreign Policy and Security Studies, Institute of Strategic and International Studies on U.S.-Malaysia Relationships on The Bigger Picture, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.